Let's pray together this morning. Jesus, we give you glory for this beautiful day to celebrate your victory over sin and death. And so we gather in your strong name, Jesus, to worship you, to sit at your feet. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would be in this place moving in power and that we would receive your goodness with gratefulness and joy. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen, amen. You can be seated this morning. We're grateful that you're with us today. On another Kids Sunday, if you're just visiting us here this morning, every fifth Sunday, we give all of our kids workers the week off, except for those who are in the nursery. And as you can see, we have a lot of kids here, and so we're really grateful for their service to our community. But it makes the fifth Sundays a little bit interesting, a little bit fun. In addition to that, we've got some amazing testimonies, affirming baptisms, and then we're going to be baptizing people immediately following the service today. So just a full day full of good things that the Lord is at work. We are in a sermon series going through the book of Proverbs. This year, we kind of made it a goal as a church to follow the liturgical calendar, the Christian calendar, even though we are not necessarily a very liturgical community of Christians. We wanted to try to learn from the wisdom of those practicing Christians who do follow this calendar all year, every year. And so we've been kind of marching through the different seasons, and we're in this large swath of time called ordinary time. And in addition to reflecting on the life and the ministry, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, ordinary time places an extra emphasis on the work of the church, which is to go and make disciples of all nations. And so we've been talking about what does it look like for us to make disciples in a culture that is changing rapidly. We talked about we needed to have resilience, and now we're talking about the need for wisdom, and no better place to look in Scripture for wisdom than the book of Proverbs. We're going to kind of lay this series out in 7 weeks. The first week, we talk about the theme we talked about last week, the theme of wisdom and fear of the Lord. So we kind of did an outline of the structure of the book last week, and we kind of talked about how that first 9 chapters, they contain 10 speeches from a father to a son, and then 4 speeches from the embodiment of wisdom, named Lady Wisdom in Scripture. And so we kind of talked about those themes, that the goal of Proverbs is to train people to have wisdom, that is living rightly. There's a sense of action. There's a sense of artistry. The word in the Hebrew connects with craftsmen and their trade. And then we talked about how chapters 10 through 29, they're just kind of like a mishmash. There's just all these different thoughts and all these different themes, and sometimes these verses are smushed together. They seem to have no rhyme or reason. But if you focus on the themes and let them emerge and kind of try to keep track of them as you read through, you realize that this is just not a bunch of random sayings, but rather this is an intentional instruction that is being given snippet at a time. And so this week, one of the themes that we're pulling out from Scripture is the idea of health. Health is important. We see it all throughout these different collections of sayings and wisdoms in Scripture. But the following weeks, we're going to pull out other themes as well. And so there's a theme throughout the book of Proverbs of integrity. There's a theme throughout the book of Proverbs of diligence, working well and doing things with excellence. There's a theme all throughout the book of Proverbs of justice, of caring for those who are marginalized, looking out for the oppressed. There's a theme all throughout the book of Proverbs of hospitality. How do we steward the resources that God has given us to serve others in Jesus' name? And then there's a large theme throughout the book of Proverbs on fidelity. And so that last sermon will give you warnings as we come up. That will be a PG-13 sermon. Of course, kids are always welcome in services, but we always want to give parents a heads up on that. And when you think about these different themes that we've just outlined, really, the book of Proverbs is a lot about stewardship. How are we stewarding wisely the things that God has blessed us with? So today, we're going to talk about health. That's about stewarding our bodies, right? This recognition that our very bodies are gifts that the Lord has given us. When we talk about the theme of integrity, it's really, how are we stewarding our values? Are we being consistent? Is our yes, yes in every situation? When we talk about diligence, we're talking about how we're stewarding our work. When we talk about justice, it's how we're stewarding fairness in our world and making sure everybody has the same opportunities, or recognizing when people don't have the same opportunities, trying to correct those. Hospitality is how we steward our resources, not just our finances, but also our homes and our time. And then finally, the issue of fidelity is how we steward our sexuality. And so we'll be talking about that as well. I was thinking about stewardship, and I wanted to bust out a prop. I'm so rare to bust out a prop, but today we've got one. So this is an open question. Who knows what this is? Okay, yeah, Braden. A guitar is correct. Does anyone who plays guitar know what kind of guitar this is? Gibson Les Paul is correct. This is not just any Gibson Les Paul. This is a 1976 Standard Deluxe Gibson Les Paul that my dad purchased in 1976 for $650. That's a lot of money in 1976. He graduated high school in 1974 and then worked 2 years, and I think he spent all of it on this. It's the guitar he played. It doesn't have standard tuners. He replaced them with an upgrade. These are called Grover tuners. You can see the belt buckle mark where he played his same belt buckle years after years. This is a gorgeous guitar. And even though my dad bought this guitar for $650, if I tried to sell this guitar today, because it's in good condition, I could get $4,000 to $5,000 for this guitar. Right? Good job stewarding it. My dad passed away 21 years ago, and who has been the owner of the guitar since then? Not you. It's been me. Oh, is that what your answer was going to be? You were raising your hand so politely. I'm like, this isn't yours. So I've owned this guitar now. It's been mine for 21 years. But whose guitar is it? It's my dad's guitar. In my mind, this is my dad's guitar, right? That's stewardship, right? When you recognize, even though something that you have is yours, fully, completely, you have the sole ownership and responsibility to care for it. At the same time, you recognize it's not mine. It belongs to our Father in heaven. I want to talk to you about bodies this morning. I want to talk to you about how your body, even though it's yours, belongs to you. It's your Father in heaven's. We're going to go through some scripture today, and I'm going to have us actually say some phrases aloud. I'm going to give you the scripture reference first, so you know I'm not making stuff up. And then as a group, we're going to say the phrase. So the first scripture comes from Genesis 1:27, and it says, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." So I want everybody in the room, and I'm going to say the phrase first in case you're not a reader yet. That goes for both the very young and the very old. We're going to say the phrase, "God created my body." Okay, let's say it together. God created my body. We know that from Genesis 1:27. Here's Genesis 1:31. After completing all that, after making humankind, God said this: "God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." So the phrase we're going to say together is, because I am made in God's image, every part of my body is good. Let's say it together. Because I am made in God's image, every part of my body is good. There's an important passage in the book of Psalms, chapter 139, verses 13 through 14, and it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." So the phrase we're going to say together is, God did not make any mistakes when he made me. Let's say it together. God did not make any mistakes when he made me. The next scripture we're going to look at is 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 through 21. And it says this: in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also wood and clay. Some are for special purposes, and some are for common use. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. And so the phrase we're going to say together is, my body was designed by God to be a vessel of his grace, truth, and love. All right? Let's read it together. My body is designed by God to be a vessel of grace, truth, and love. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 says this: do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who have you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. We're going to say the phrase together: my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, a sacred space where God resides. Let's say it together. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, a sacred space where God resides. Last one, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through 44. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Our last phrase we're going to say together this morning from Scripture is, my body is me. My future hope of heaven includes my resurrected body. Okay? Let's say it together. My body is me. My future hope of heaven includes my resurrected body. So, if we take these passages seriously and we recognize these phrases that God created us, he made all of us, there's no part of us that's a mistake, that God loves our bodies so much that he inhabits them, and then when we die on the last day, Jesus will resurrect glorified bodies. We're not just going to live in some disembodied heaven in the clouds. We're going to be able to breathe and walk and eat, and we see this all from the testimony of Jesus and his resurrected body. So bodies are critical, and then if we think that the book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and specifically a book that invites us to steward wisely things that belong to God, when we think about our bodies, we think about health, we're going to be thinking about things that God is inviting us to take care of. So I'm just going to give you a few of those passages that are pulled out from Proverbs in which we see this theme. Those are just going to come at you rapid fire. Proverbs 3, 7 through 8. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. I hate it when your bones are undernourished. You need to be fearing the Lord. It's not osteoporosis. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Living in obedience to what God intends us to do results in a healthy life and a healthy body. Proverbs 14, verse 30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. So we already talked about how your bones were undernourished. Don't get bone rot in them also through your envious practices. Okay. Last verse, Proverbs 20, verse 29. The glory of young men is their strength. Gray hair, the splendor of the old. We have some splendid people in this congregation. Do you want to stand up and show us how splendid you are? Amazing, this idea that there is something to be appreciated about people when they're in their prime, when your bodies are at their peak capacity, but there's also something to be respected when your body begins to get old and maybe it doesn't function as well as it used to, there's something that still deserves honor in that. Why? Because A, you were made in the image of your Creator, and B, Christ died for you, and you are now a vessel of the Holy Spirit. So one of the things that I have learned the hard way over the last few years is that I could be doing great in my emotional life, in my spiritual life, in my financial life, in my relationships, but if I'm not taking care of my body, all of a sudden everything else starts to feel not so good. And one of my favorite pastors says, whenever you are having a hard time, you need to first attend to the body. First attend to the body. I actually have been using this for several years. When people come in to see me in a counseling scenario, and they're just saying, I don't know what's wrong. They don't have a source of trauma, or they're not dealing through grief, or they're not working through a problem. They just kind of say, I just have this general thing. I used to ask them kind of just as a general questionnaire, these six things. And we're going to unpack that. I'm going to have some volunteers that are going to come help me unpack these things today. But here are the six things I would ask people. Are you drinking enough water? Do you have friends that you can closely confide in? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you eating healthy foods? Are you going outside a few times a day? And are you moving your body? Right? And I'll tell you, I'm not here to say this morning that if you do all those six things, you'll never have depression and anxiety. That's not my claim. But what I am claiming is every time anyone has ever come into my office with general anxiety or general depression, they have not been able to answer yes to all six of those questions. You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying doing that will be the cure-all. I'm just saying in my lived experience, whenever I ask people about the details of attending to their body, no one has been able to say, yes, I'm doing all of those things perfectly and I'm still not feeling great. Okay, so this morning we're going to do our version of Kids Say the Darndest Things. Pray for us as we begin. Here we go. I have these six things. I call it embodied wisdom. And the wisdom is an acronym, okay? And I'm going to have a partner kind of talk to me about each of these parts of wisdom. So the first up is our dear sister, Annika Eads. So Annika's going to come up and talk with us about the W of embodied wisdom, which is water. Good morning, Annika.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good.
So great. Annika, just for reference, can you tell everybody how old you are?
I am 9.
Okay, that's very good. Do you have any siblings?
Yes.
Okay, great. What are their names?
Baylita, Everett, and Matthias.
All right. Have you picked out a name for the new baby?
No.
Okay. We're getting yes or no's from Annika this morning. Annika, how much water should you drink a day?
I would say that it depends on how much I want to drink.
It depends. Very good. Yeah, there's wisdom right there. What's the favorite drink in your house? What do you guys drink the most of?
We drink the most of water, but that's not my favorite. I don't have a favorite.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something really cool.
Nope.
This is going amazing. Let me brag on Annika. My wife was watching the Eads kids the other day, and they went to the park, and some person saw my wife with like 72 kids, my kids plus the Eads kids, and they said, would you guys like some Gatorade? And they all said, oh, yes. And then Annika said, no, no, no. Mom would not like us to have Gatorade. And so her and all of the other Eads kids said, no, thank you. And I'm thinking, my kids would have drunk that. Like, knowing the rules, that would not have mattered. So Annika already demonstrating great integrity in her young life and staying away from the sugary Gatorade that will kill you. Yeah. Okay, Annika, the recommended amount of water is that we drink 8 cups or 64 ounces a day, okay?
Well, I have a 32-ounce.
What's that?
I have a 32-ounce.
You have a 32-ounce cup? Okay, so you drink it twice. I think that recommendation is for an adult, but you could go for it. I wanted us, each of our helpers, I think sometimes we can remember things better if we have some kind of like physical thing we do. So the last question for everyone, and if you're one of the other five kids, you can prepare for this, is I want you to think of a dance move that will help us remember to drink water. Were you prepared for this? No, excellent. All right, I'll take the microphone, and it's your job right now, Annika, to think of it. What could help us remember that we're supposed to drink water? Okay. That's water, but it needs to get inside of you. What are you going to do? This is a dance move. Everyone here will dance every time. We're going to actually all dance together at the end. I've just decided doing these dance moves. Okay, so water inside of you. How are you going to do it? You've got 10 seconds. No pressure. Okay. Water. Perfect. This is it. Everyone give Annika a big round of applause. You can go sit down, sweetheart. Thank you so much. Annika did a great job. So water, like your bodies are made of water. Here's the thing. When it comes to all six of these things, I know I'm not telling anyone here something you don't know, correct? None of this is new information to you. But the question is, do you do it? Right? Everybody knows that you're supposed to drink water throughout the day. And no, coffee and Gatorade and beer doesn't count. There's a lot of water in those drinks, but that's not what we're talking about, right? I've got Braden Smith coming up, and he's going to help us talk about I, which is intimacy. I wanted to say friendship. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's not that kind. Here you go, buddy. I wanted to say friendship, but that would be a really weird acronym. Woofism. So when I talk about intimacy in this context, I'm talking about close friendships. Braden, why don't you give us your specs? Like, how old are you?
I'm 10.
How many siblings?
One.
What's their name?
Brody.
Brody. Okay. What's your favorite thing to do in the world?
Play video games.
Excellent. Okay. We're talking about friendship. Do you think friendship is important? And if so, why?
Yes, it is important because you can have people to talk to if you're lonely, and it will help a lot.
Wisdom. People to talk to if you're lonely, and it'll help a lot. That's exactly true. That's exactly true. As we continue to live in a world where the U.S. Surgeon General says that loneliness is an epidemic level, less and less people in the United States can say they have 3 to 5 close friends. 3 to 5. That's the doctor's recommended amount. Close friends. People you could call in the middle of the night and say, things are not well with me. 3 to 5 people. Here's the question for you, Brody. How many hugs, Braden? Are we no longer friends? Braden, here's the question. How many hugs a day do human beings need?
10.
10 is almost exactly correct. You just made that up, didn't you? Amazing. Never underestimate a small child just making stuff up. You're not that small. The National Institute of Health and Research did a study, and they said that human beings need 4 hugs a day for basic survival. You need 8 for maintenance, and you need 12 for growth, which is 10 is really close to the healthy zone. Right now, hug somebody real close to you. There we go. Hey, buddy. Okay. You're on your way to your daily recommended amount of hugs. Great work. Okay, so Braden, now I need you to help us think of our dance move for friendship. We need 3 to 5 friends. We need 12 hugs a day. What's the dance move you got for us? That doesn't look wildly friendly. Just a real quick move that we could show our friendship to one another. There you go. Oh, nice job, man. Okay, so every person, we'll try to, no, come back here. We're gonna try to recap this. So Annika gave us water, and Braden gave us a hug. Dance with me, come on, ready? Water, and hug. Okay, thank you, everybody, Braden. Okay, next up. Who's the next person? My list got messed up. Oh, Lainey, where are you? Briley, that's right. I'm so sorry. I copied and pasted, and it said Braden again. I'm like, he's not coming back up here. It's Briley. Okay, awesome. Okay, Briley, okay, give me the stats. How old are you?
I'm 8.
Okay, siblings?
2.
And what are their names?
Briggs and Briar.
And you have another baby coming?
Yes.
Do we think the name's going to start with any specific letter?
B-R.
Okay. Probably safe bet. How much sleep are you supposed to get every night?
18 hours?
18 hours, ladies and gentlemen. That is correct. That is correct. This is one of those questions where it depends on your age. So when you're younger, you're supposed to get more sleep. What time do you normally go to bed? Do you have a range?
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock. And then what time do you wake up the next day? Remember, your parents are here. They're going to be able to confirm this.
7 o'clock.
You wake up about 7?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's 11-ish hours. Not quite the ideal of 18 that we're shooting for. But for your age and stage of life, 11 is exactly the correct amount that you're supposed to get. Adults, how much sleep are you supposed to get a night? 7 to 8 hours. Raise your, what is it?
20 hours.
20 is too much. It's 18 is just right. How many are consistently getting the recommended amount of sleep? Put your hands in the air. And the rest of you are spitting in the face of God. Just putting it out there. So I want you to try to finish this phrase. It's kind of a well-known American proverb. And then you can show me a dance move and we'll be done. Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and?
Prized?
Could be. That's pretty close. What we were looking for was wise. Mm-hmm. Healthy, wealthy, and wise. And that was from Benjamin Franklin in Poor Richard's Almanac. Okay, Briley, why don't you give us a dance move for sleep? Pretty standard, and I love it. It's keeping it simple. All right, let's dance together. We got to have water, intimacy, and sleep. Ready? Okay, water, intimacy, and sleep. Okay, give Briley a round of applause. Thank you. Okay, now I got Calder Levesque. Calder, come on up here, bro. Hello? How are you?
Good.
Put the mic in your back.
Good.
Okay, great. How old are you, sir?
9.
9 years old. My 9-year-old I can fit in my back pocket. You're a healthy young man. How many siblings do you have?
2.
What are their names?
Lakin and Brecken.
Lakin and Brecken. Okay. So I'm going to talk to you about diet. What's your favorite food in the world? Hard question.
Pizza.
Pizza! That is the most highly recommended by all scientists and doctors. That's the best food ever.
My dad makes me eat vegetables.
Bro. I was about to ask about your father. What's his favorite food?
A bunch of vegetables.
This is lame. I was hoping to get some dirt on him and, like, he really eats Reese cups by the truckload or something.
Nope.
What do you think, so you guys try to eat vegetables. What do you think is a balanced diet? What should you be eating? Some of this, some of that?
You should have vegetables, a carb, and protein.
Vegetables, carb, and protein. That's exactly right. I feel like he's been prepped for this. Okay, so again, this is one of those that we know all the things. If we want to eat healthier, we should eat more vegetables, more locally sourced protein, and more whole grains, right? We should avoid what? Sugar, highly processed food, and large amounts of red meat, right? We all kind of know that, but the question is, are you doing it? And if you're not, why do you hate yourself? Or maybe you love yourself too much. Okay, Calder, we're going to do a dance move. What is eating healthy? Show me a dance move for eating healthy. That is very healthy. Okay, I'm going with it. I'm going with it because you are what you eat. Okay, you ready to do the whole dance with me?
Yeah.
Okay, water, intimacy, sleep, and diet. All right, good job. Give Calder. Okay, so now we have Lakin coming up. All right. Hello, Lakin.
Hi.
What's your last name?
Levesque.
Do you know Calder?
Yes.
How do you know him?
He's my bro.
Okay. What's the meanest thing he's ever done to you?
Punch me.
Punched you. He's using those muscles that the Lord has given him with the vegetables. But you've never done anything mean to him, right?
I have.
What? All right, moving on. We're talking about being outside. What's your favorite thing to do outside?
Build like teepees and stuff.
Oh, like build forts and teepees? That's awesome. Does any other small child like to build teepees and forts and stuff while you're outside? What do you build them out of?
Sticks.
Oh, nice. And aren't they for like human-sized things or are they for smaller things?
For human-sized.
Okay, great. Awesome. How much time do you think you're supposed to spend outside every day?
The whole day?
The whole day. That is a lot of time. Are you spending that much time outside?
Yeah.
You're the healthiest kid on the planet. So the research has shown that a number of health benefits occur when you spend at least 120 minutes a week outside. Seems very low, especially if you love the outdoors. That averages to about 20 minutes a day. So being outside is really healthy for you. There's all kinds of benefits, not only from being exposed to sunshine and trees and stuff like that, but it's also fun, right?
Yeah.
You could build. Okay, what's the longest you've ever been outside in a row?
For a whole day.
4 whole days, like you went camping and you were outside the whole time?
Yeah.
That's amazing. So if you do that, then you don't have to go outside for the whole rest of the year. I'm kidding. Okay. Okay, Lakin, we're going to do a dance move for outside. What is it for us? You're going to make it up. What's the outside dance move?
Nature.
You have to say the word nature when you do that. Nature. All right, you ready to dance with me? Okay, so we've got water, intimacy, sleep, diet, and outside. Nature. Everybody give Lakin a round of applause. Okay, last one up is Livy. Livy Cook. All right. Wait. This is not allowed.
Yes, it is.
You should have done that for the friendship one. All right. I'm going to ignore the other person here. Livy, how old are you?
9.
And how many siblings do you have?
1.
Just 1. Do your parents know about the 4-kid requirement here at Park Street?
No.
Okay. What's your sibling's name?
Lawson.
Lawson. Livy and Lawson. And did you say how old you were?
9.
9. I'm sorry. I forgot that part already. Okay. So we're talking about movement. What is the benefit of moving your body?
I don't know.
Okay, that's a fair answer. How about this? What's your favorite way to move your body? Do you have something that you like to do? A sport, a dance? What do you like to do?
Golf.
Golfing? Yeah. That's awesome! Are you good at golf?
Yeah.
9 years old. That's amazing. I feel like that's usually for old guys, but that's good. That's a good thing. Okay, so how many minutes a day do you think doctors recommend that we should be moving?
20 or 30.
20 or 30 is exactly correct. Give it up for Livy, knowing the stats. 30 minutes of movement a day is what's recommended by Mayo Clinic to help keep your heart healthy and your body active. Okay, now, Livy, we're going to do a dance move now for movement. So think about that for a second. All of dance is movement, right? So you're going to show me the most movemental movement possible, and then we're going to have our full dance, okay? All right. No. Do you have any other ideas?
Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. How about we do this? Okay? Or split if you want to. Okay, so let's all do the dance. Esther, you're gonna do it with us too. Okay, we've got water. We got intimacy. We've got, what was the next one?
Sleep,
thank you. We've got diet. We've got outside, nature. And we've got movement. Okay, everybody stand up. You guys can go back and sit down. Thank you so much, Libby. Okay, we're gonna do it together. Stretch, you might wanna stretch a little bit, especially for that last move. Woo! All right, God has given you your body. God has blessed you with something that is yours, but belongs to Him. And He's invited you to steward it well, okay? How do we do that? We drink enough water. We have close friendships, we get enough sleep, we have a healthy diet, we spend time outside, we move our bodies. How will I remember, Nate? Aha, we have a dance. All right, ready? Embodied wisdom, ready? Water, and intimacy, and sleep, and diet, and outside,
nature,
and movement. Receive this benediction this morning. We pray that you would live a life of health, that you would experience the goodness of God through the gift of your embodied life. We pray that you would steward well the blessing that God has graced you with, knowing that not only did He create you, but He plans to redeem and restore you and make you whole and perfect once more. We bless you in Jesus' name to live a life of health and abundance. And all of God's people said, Amen.